You're listening to episode 13 of David's Out for a Good Time, holiday special edition. Ho, 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 bitches.
Christmas time is near. Getting fatter is near.
I mean, is that really just a holiday thing for you?
Oh, mate, it's...
Drag? You didn't even notice.
Because I work in a restaurant. It's all day, every day. Getting bigger is like a thing.
Each week you'll be hearing from me, David Olszynetski, your local Santa Claus.
And me, Naledi Dube, your black Mrs. Claus.
As we'll discuss everything young people should be talking about or already talking about this holiday season.
Nothing is off topic.
What do you do for like Christmas or holidays normally?
Christmas, we chill. We have banging food. And by banging, I don't mean like the standard roast dinner. I mean every Zimbabwean cuisine is on my table, as well as like chicken, because most of my family does not like turkey. So we have chicken or beef instead of turkey. And then an array of like, you know, your roast potatoes, your roast veg, some good gravy, and then...
Wait, so what are like Zimbabwean traditions or food that you would have during the holiday season?
Okay. So it's not necessarily like food that only comes out on Christmas. It's food that's like eaten throughout the year. So do you know what pap is? The English term for it is pap, but in my language it's ischwela, which is like a maize meal powder in water boiled into a paste, like a hard paste, which is eaten with like beef stew, hard chicken, tripe, if you like tripe. I fucking love that shit. Veal tongue. We have rice with veg. What else do we have? Do you know what gizzards are?
Oh, like it's, yeah.
Like chicken gizzards. Yeah, those two. When we kill an animal, we make use of every part, you know? Does it sound nice? Would you like to have a...
The maize thing sounds good.
It's bland AF and you just dip it in like soups and it's the most pink thing ever. You can't have it on its own unless you're having it as a porridge. What kind of foods and traditions do you have on your plate?
So in my family, we don't do Christmas. Ooh. But when I was growing up in Eastern Europe, their version of like Christmas is on New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So the 31st going into the 1st.
Yeah.
That's when they have Ded Moroz, which is Russian for Father Christmas.
Mm.
Comes and gives you presents. He doesn't give it to you on the 25th. He gives it to you as it's turning over into the 1st, like at New Year's on the top. Food is basically the same, but you know like how Christmas dinner is always like a set thing? Here, it's like we'll have 20 small plates instead of like a bunch of main dishes.
Yeah.
Like there isn't like a turkey or like something specific that you have.
Madness.
So, yeah. So, in fact, I don't think we really have any like hot meat. It's meant to be like a buffet style. So, like, if there is meat, it'll be like sandwich meats.
Wow.
My favorite, it's orange caviar. Do you know what orange caviar is?
Know what caviar is, but... Orange caviar, is that
so black caviar is meant to be like the bougie like one that like people pay like hundreds of pounds for.
Okay.
And then orange caviar is actually like tasty one that you should be having when farmed responsibly. But on bread and butter.
Really?
So, that's the like only seafood I'll actually like ball out. Like it's so good. It's so good. Later in the episode, we've got a topic involving fandom metrics and what's really been popping through the year. And we'll be joined by special guest, Charlie XCX.
David's Out for a Good Time, a Spotify original podcast.
A recent news story revealed hate crime rates against transgender individuals in the UK has increased by 32%. Against sexual orientation has risen by 27%, against race by 14%. In Canada, all three categories have risen by 50%, and similar figures can be found in Australia, Germany, and the US. If we're living in one of the most diverse and statistically safe times ever, why do we think these rates have risen, Naledi?
I kind of feel like it's politics as well, like especially with Trump being in power. I feel like once Trump started his campaign, a lot of closet racists came out. And I think people also hate what they don't know as well, which is kind of sad. People are very, very influenced by media today.
I 100% agree with you. I think did you ever see American Horror Story Cult?
Yes, I did.
It's the season that takes place over the post-US election, like America, and one of the main antagonists, his whole justification for why he's like evil and so happy like attacks minorities is because he's always had this belief system, but he knew it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he sees someone like Donald Trump has won and has the air quotes majority, it feels like, you know what? All of us have this opinion.
Yeah.
We're always keeping quiet. Now we can be public about it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what it is that a lot of people have always had these opinions, but they just didn't think, and it isn't socially acceptable to say them. They were keeping it in their head, and now they're saying it out loud. and it's just a mess.
I sound so like such a pessimist by saying this, but I kind of have no faith in like humanity at the minute. Not to sound really indie or anything like that. I just think people are just horrible now. Like gun crime and knife crime. People are just petty and mad for like no reason, especially over shit that has nothing to do with them, you know, like transgender crimes, race crimes. Literally, what does another person's life have anything to do with you?
Do you feel like you can step in if you see a hate crime unfold? Like, do you know how to report one?
I don't think I'd react in the best way. For hate crimes, of course I'll step in, like, always, because it's something that I, being black, it's something I would want someone to do for me.
So you have the, like, confidence to step in?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Have you had to step in?
No, I've never been, literally.
But see, that's what I mean, like, it's one thing to be like, oh yeah, I would definitely step in. Mm-hmm. It's another to actually step in. Because I guarantee anyone would say, yeah, I'd step in, because everyone wants to be the good guy. Mm-hmm. But how many people actually will step up to the plate?
Do you mean like stepping in?
Okay, so hypothetically, you're on a train, okay?
Yeah.
And there is a really racist, xenophobic, just horrible person mm-hmm. yelling slurs mm-hmm. at another person.
Yeah.
So it's one-on-one in front of you. Do you say anything?
Yeah, man, because I've just, it'd be awful of me not to. I am so judgmental of all the videos of people like being in that situation and everyone's just watching. I hate it. Like, I hate it so much, and I would want someone to do that for me. So I think, yeah, I would, without a doubt. You know, I'm not going to be doing anything if I don't really follow my word and stick up for people that can't stick up for themselves.
This year, we've seen everything from Barbecue Becky to Permit Patty. Did they deserve the sort of social media storm that led to them losing their job and more? What they were doing, was it like a hate crime? Could you call it that?
No, not at all.
It's not like they were calling them N-words or,
no,
you know, or shoving them into a lake.
But it's so...
But it's still like made the situation uncomfortable. It depends on how you read into it.
Yeah. I think seeing stuff like that, I literally can't help but like roll my eyes into oblivion. In all of those videos, you know, they could have just minded their business. Like, in no way did they have to intervene. But what makes it so obvious that it was a racial thing was the fact that like they had to somehow intervene when they literally could have left the situation alone. That's when you know, oh wait, you have a problem, but you're not going to state that problem because you don't want to look like a racist, but you are a racist.
Do we believe in complicity? For example, Piers Morgan often makes transphobic, hateful comments, and oftentimes people praise his co-host Susanna Reid for being the voice of reason. But can she be called that if she just sits there and doesn't actually stop him from making those transphobic, horrible comments?
Mate, these people are getting paid big money to shake the table. And in terms of complicity, yeah, she is complicit. She probably might even agree, you know. She says,
I don't think that's the thing, is I don't think she agrees. She's one of those people that like on social media always talks the talk, but then in person when she sat next to him doesn't do anything. She's always
dead.
She always says that she disagrees with him.
That's the right.
So say it. Say, yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Literally, she. The thing is, just because of like on the payroll that they are and the platform that they have, I highly doubt. Like, well, not highly doubt, but I just kind of think maybe there are times she's just saying what she's saying just to act as like the good angel.
I feel like she's
meant
to be the mediator between Piers Morgan and whoever the guest is. And the issue with that is a mediator can still have a moral obligation to step in and say, okay, your time is up.
Yeah,
and move
yeah,
on.
Definitely.
But she doesn't ever interject or stop him or correct him.
Hashtag complicit.
Exactly. So I think if you have friends, mm-hmm. and this is the big mood for 2019, mm-hmm. if you have friends that have like racist or homophobic or transphobic comments,
yeah.
even if they aren't literally going out and committing hate crimes,
yeah.
tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
leave them in 2018.
Exactly.
They're not worth it.
Because one, you've seen how this shit ruins
If you have to defend
lives.
The friend by being like, so let's say your friend Jeremy always does that. If you have to say, oh, that's just Jeremy, ignore him. Sis, we can all ignore Jeremy. Leave him out.
I know, mate. I know. With how laws are getting a little bit stricter and people are starting to care a bit more about, you know, racist comments, transphobic comments, like anything against the LGBTQ community, this shit can ruin your life if you're not careful. So get it together and stop being horrible.
And that's the thesis.
A Spotify original podcast.
So Tumblr released their annual list of the most keyworded post-related topics since January 2018. We need to figure out, since when have people been talking about that? Mm-hmm. And which parts were like, yeah, we definitely joined in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with film and television. Okay, A Star is Born. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, but it's everywhere.
I saw the movie. I don't think it was like the best movie I've ever seen in my entire life, but it was definitely not a bad movie. And then we have To All the Boys I've Loved Before, Crazy Rich Asians, Black Panther, Love, Simon. We discussed all those films back in episode one when we talked about diversity in film and how happy we were to see it. Definitely. I still see people talk about every single one of those movies. The other day in one of my university classes, someone said Wakanda Forever.
Annoyingly, I also haven't seen Black Panther. I'm really not with it with the movies, you know. But, nah, I'm not going to go into a rant. It's fine.
Go into the rant, sis.
Right, this whole thing of...
That took no convincing.
This whole thing of, like, how people are suddenly on that Wakanda Forever train, right? But yet won't take the time to get to know actual African culture. It's just like, please, Africa's so cool. There is more to Africa than just poverty. We have diamonds. We have, like, we have beautiful agriculture. We have beautiful scenery, you know? So please, if you don't know, get to know.
You've not said that in so long.
Because I've never had, I haven't had a reason to say it for so long.
Oh, that means it's the real tea. Next, we have TV like The Bodyguard, RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
We definitely have been talking about The Bodyguard and also, oh, did you name it before?
RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars.
You've been talking about that.
Yeah, and it's so funny. I just saw for the first time on YouTube, there's videos of people reacting to the winner. And you can actually bet money on who's going to win and things like that.
You can bet money on anything now, innit?
I hope there's bets on our show. What the fuck?
I don't know. I was going to say something, but then I couldn't think.
Mess.
I couldn't think I was going to say something, but then I thought,
the lady's,
you know,
already cracked open the eggnog. Episode's over.
Smashed already. Oh, I can't even think. I was going to say something funny.
But when it comes to music, Tumblr's broken it down again. At the top is Aretha Franklin Passing.
R-E-S-P-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Suck it to me. Ugh. Bops and bangers for days.
I know.
You've shared her music on the show before.
I have.
Next, we have Cardi B's Landslide Year. What do you think of Invasion of Privacy?
Banger after banger on that album, you know.
It was a very make or break year. Bojack Girl came out last year and it could have easily been one and done.
Mm-hmm.
The way she's handled this year, or her team has handled this year, has been so smart, especially with her being pregnant and then like having to pull out of Bruno's tour, not really doing any summer festivals after Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really could have been Bojack Girl and that's it. They handled it so well.
She's different and I think she might be around for a while. She may not have a long-standing career like Nicki Minaj, but I think she'll be around for quite some time.
Next on the list, though, is Nicki herself and her meltdown.
Man, she always... When someone takes her spotlight, you know, she always, like...
She is, like, one of those kids that can't share their toys.
Yeah, and the thing is what I feel like she thinks she's easily going to become irrelevant, and I'm like, no. She's just iconic, man, in so many ways, in looks, outfit, verses. She's got bars. Like, she's one female rapper I can say that has bars, like genuine bars. I love her, but
Nicki Minaj has made some fire music. And this last album, Good Form and Shunley, are bangers.
Yeah, they are good songs.
But her as a person, that's the whole thing of Cardi versus Nicki.
Yeah.
Cardi is the likable person. Money by Cardi B, her last single, is shit. It's not a good song.
Yeah.
But everyone still hyped it up and likes it because they like her.
Yeah.
If Nicki releases a bad song, people will happily take it down because they don't want her to do well.
Cardi
B can put out a shit song and people still hype her up because they like her as a person and want her to do well.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And Nicki, that's why someone stole your bag.
And the thing is as well, it's not even saying that she's shit at rapping. I think she's just good at what she does, but I think her people need to...
She has the people. She needs to be brought down to her level. She needs a no man instead of a yes man.
Exactly.
Next, the Thank You Next music video.
Thank you.
Next.
Next. Thank you.
At the end where the like delivery guy comes in, instead of his badge saying UPS, it says BDE. Do you know what that is?
No.
Big Dick Energy.
No way.
Because it was all Pete Davidson and Ariana that started it.
Oh my God, yeah.
So that small attention to detail. And obviously the iconic comments she wrote on all of the X's pages in the burn book.
Like, oh my God.
Like,
Big
sorry
Sean.
I dipped.
Yeah.
Big Sean could still get it.
Yeah, I love that.
Janae Aiko is shaking.
I know.
Next is In My Feelings and the challenge around that. I never did the In My Feelings challenge. Did you?
I didn't know how to do the dance.
You jumping out of the number 36 bus.
Fuck that. That would end up with me, like, dying. Like, not gonna lie.
I know the dance, but, like, I'm not exactly going to be like, sorry, Uber driver, can you slow down while I hop out and have my friend film this?
In it, man.
None of my friends own a whip that can let us do this.
Exactly. I feel like you have to have like a banging car to even finesse this.
And then when we move over to the online topics, David Dobrik and Liza Koshy's breakup.
I hate the fact that, like, you know, YouTubers
have to do breakup videos.
Yeah, I'm actually like, no, never. Even like this small-time YouTuber who I watch, she has about like 30,000 followers. She did one, and I'm like, no, never feel like you owe the world anything, because in the end, they weren't involved in that.
The Cock Destroyers video.
Oh my god, those porn stars. Oh my god, every time I see a video on Twitter, I'm literally like cringing with embarrassment.
It's funny.
It's so like, oh, that stereotypical porn stars, you know, big breasts, big...
Let her live!
No, I'm not judging, but I'm just dying at how cringy it is. I'm like inwardly cringing. I'm literally like, you lot are mums, innit?
I think they are.
They are mums. Your kids could get bullied from watching this shit.
Ugh, I don't want to sex shame.
I'm not sex shaming either, but I just didn't find it funny. That's the thing. I thought it was hilarious. That's what I mean. So, different point opinions on this one.
Well, you know what I have to say to this topic?
What?
Thank you. Next.
A Spotify original podcast.
This week we have yet another anonymous question. What is with our followers not trusting us with their identity? All we're asking for is their social security number, the 3 digits on the back of their card, their address. Your boy just wants to go on an Amazon wishlist spree.
Exactly.
Just trust us, sis. Trust us. It's not that deep. Well, on this week's From the Inbox, this advice question is very much about living your best life. Mm. Anonymous said, is it normal to feel guilty after... I can swear. Is it normal to feel guilty after fucking someone that you shouldn't? They then go on to say, I spent the weekend with someone that I really shouldn't have hooked up with, and it was really good. Now I don't know, one, do I go back or do I leave a one-night stand as is? And two, is it normal to feel bad? Nalady, the queen of one-night stands, what do you think?
The queen of one-night stands. The assumption that I get man. Right. Who is it? Is that person not available? Is that what you mean by you slept with him, but you shouldn't?
No, they were just asking, do you ever feel guilty, period. So I'm guessing they're saying, like, is it okay to feel bad? I think it depends on if you should feel bad. You know yourself enough to know if you shouldn't be with that person. And if you shouldn't be with that person, yeah, don't hook up with them.
Yeah, exactly.
In my head, if they're taken, not only should you feel guilty, don't do it.
Yeah.
If they could harm you, don't do it. Mm. If they're too drunk or you're too drunk, don't do it, and then you should feel guilty for, you know, taking advantage.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different degrees. So yeah. I don't know why you feel guilty, but if you feel guilty, trust your gut. Something's up.
Yeah, for sure. He or she said more than that. What was the other stuff that she said?
They said, do they go back to a one-night stand?
You just said, like, you feel bad for doing what?
Exactly. So don't go back to them.
That should be it.
Trust your gut. Do not be Boo Boo the Fool. From two boo-boos and two fools, don't go back.
That's a recipe for disaster, because who knows what other can of worms you're opening up. Who knows?
Literally.
If this person is unavailable, the person that they might be with might be getting hurt at this point. Or whoever's involved, though, if this person...
We need details.
I know. This is such a big question. How could you do this to us?
Why are you hurting us now? Why are you hurting us?
I know. There could be a lot of parties involved if you go back, you know. This is like...
Leave it in the past. If you're guilty, you're not going to feel better by going back. It's not some redemption story.
Big time.
Nalady, have you ever felt guilty?
You know what? Yeah, actually, because he was really gross.
Like, visually?
Yeah, it was gross. Like, he was just gross, and I was just like, as if I kiss that. I sound horrible, don't.
No. I just said, me too. The fuck? If you're feeling guilty because you think you did something wrong in the sense of, I hurt someone's feelings, mm-hmm. or I took advantage, mm-hmm. not only don't go back, but have some self-analysis.
Yeah.
But if you are feeling guilty because you're like, I can do better, go back. It was fun. Go for it.
Nah, if you know your standards, don't go back.
Depends on how good it was. In Sex and the City, there's an episode where she hooks up, I don't know which of the four it was, but one of the four hooks up with someone who is way below their standards, but just because they're bomb as hell in bed. Tiffany Haddish said the same thing in her book. She said the best sex she ever had was with, like, the ugliest person she's ever had.
I don't know them, but it's just like, is that all that's important?
Well, it's a one-night stand. It's not a relationship that she's starting.
Oh, I don't know then.
Long story short, sounds like you're as messy as we are, sis. Join the club, our third co-host coming on. if you would like slightly more, you know, sensible, reserved advice next week, send us a slightly reserved and sensible question. And stop sending us anons. We want your names. We want your digits. Visit theshitneyspears.com and send us that question.
Hi, I'm Emmett, and my coming out story, I think, is a little different from some people's because I never really got to come out. My parents were always super accepting, but in school, I was just labeled as gay from probably 10 years old or so, right around end of elementary school, middle school. And I was always comfortable with who I was, but it took me a little while to figure out that, yeah, I am gay. And probably around 7th grade, 12 years old, I realized I'm gay. These kids have already teased me and bullied me and labeled me. I might as well just own up to it, come out. So the song I would like to add to David's Bops and Bangers is Boys, Boys, Boys by Lady Gaga. Definitely a big gay anthem, a song I was listening to a lot at the time, an artist I was teased a lot for being a fan of. And I think this song is a huge banger and everyone still goes crazy for it. And it's just a fun gay anthem.
Now, lady, that was our last call and come out of 2018. Well, you know what? Clink, clink, bitch, to many more in 2019.
Clink, clink, bitch.
And with that in mind, let's clink, clink, bitch, to the best music for 2018. Normally, we like to pick music from 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s onward.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, you know what? Let's only pick music from 2018 and maybe a little holiday special track as
no,
well.
No, you've got it, man. As it's coming to the end of the year, you've got to.
So, Nalady, hit me with your clink, clink, bitch tracks.
Right, disclaimer, I have one girl on this list. And
because Nalady is a misogynist.
Oh, stop. I'm always about pussy power. I'm always about free the nipple. I'm always, always, always about it. But this year, I don't even know what it is. Maybe I just haven't looked enough. But the way I've chosen these songs is like my favorite albums, and then I've picked a song from the album. So my first song comes from Astroworld, and it is Skeletons by Travis Scott. Then my next song is Call Out My Name by The Weeknd from My Dear Melancholy. My next is Blaxploitation by No Name from her newest album, Room 25. She's just cool. Like, I have nothing else to say about her, but other than she's really cool and I love her. And then my next track is Nice For What by Drake from his new album, Scorpion. Drake consistently makes bangers, man. Bangers. All his albums bang. And the video to this is really fucking good. It has, what's her name?
Big Frida.
Big Frida is in there. And all the women in that video are just so beautiful. And I like the fact, I like that he could have chosen to make a video very different.
Just a video vixen.
Yeah.
And he
but
didn't.
He got some boss women on the video. And I love the fact that he included Big Frida in there. It's very rare to see someone like him have someone who is she trans, queer?
Big Frida is one of those people that is always like, I'm a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Like genderqueer.
You know? So I like that. I respect that he's included someone like her in there. We love an inclusive rapper. So big up to you. And then my last track is my Christmas track, which is Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. Christmas Wrapping is one of my favourite Christmas songs ever. I used to sing it throughout secondary school and annoy all my friends. I think if my friends could ever say, like, is there a Christmas song that describes Nalady? This is my song. So yeah, those are all my five tunes. Take it over, David.
So mine begins with Solo by Clean Bandit and Demi Lovato. There's those sites where they can track all the songs that you play, and it says like which song you played the most. And it's not the most played song of the year for me, but of songs released in 2018, it's the most played. So I had to give some respect to Queen Demi Lovato. Oh, and I just remembered.
Yeah, we saw her live in
No. I was going to say, there's a video on YouTube. The first result for Demi Lovato singing Solo live.
Oh, no, you're not going to say it.
There's a video, and you can see the lady second row vibing out, not knowing any of the words. And
what,
it was already number
Solo,
one.
Solo? Oh, I don't think it's because I don't like that song.
My favorite part is you were bopping your head so hard, living your life. And it's you're so HD in it. Like, you can literally see every detail.
You need to send
me
the link. I asked you to send me the link. And guess who pied me? David.
Not the first guy to pie you off in 2018.
You need need to send me the link because I want to see it myself. Because one time I was at work and then I get screenshots from David of me in a video and I'm like, the fuck is that? How many views has that video got?
Like 50,000.
Oh, man. People can see my nonchalant face.
The next track I picked is Kitty Girl by RuPaul's Drag Race featuring the cast of All Stars 3. The next song is a song that I hated when it came out, but it's proof that if you hear a song enough, you end up falling in love with it. I really like that song Lullaby by Sigala and Paloma Faith.
No words.
You don't like it?
Nah.
I didn't either, but if you hear it enough times, it gets stuck in your head. So the next track I picked is Be Careful by Cardi B from Invasion of Privacy. There's a lot of ways you can feel about Cardi B, but I just think this album was so monumental. To have not put anything from it on either of our lists would just be like ignoring one of the biggest smashes of the year. I want to pick a song by someone who's like up and coming in 2018 because I think like 2019 is the year that they're gonna like air quotes break.
Is it?
So they're not unsigned. They're definitely signed to a label and they've got some budget E music videos, but they just aren't like getting the radio play or booking the concerts that they deserve. I picked Forever by Clairo.
I don't think I've heard of her.
Exactly. So she released
Bet
three songs.
Bet you feel cool, mate.
No. That's how you try to feel every week. So she released three songs this year, but next year is when like an album's coming out and they're just gonna be hyping her up more. So jump on it now as 2018 ends, so that way you can say you were on it before everyone else was. So normally this would be the point where I, you know, share a song with a secret gay history, but being our holiday special, I had to share a song. And I'm saying this as someone who doesn't celebrate Christmas. I picked Someday at Christmas by Jackson 5 from the movie that made the lady cry. What was that movie?
Love, Simon!
So I thought that'd be a good way to nudge in like a movie of the year with the holidays. Oh. So
wait, Love, Simon came out this year?
I know, that's how long this year has been!
Oh my god!
We saw Red Sparrow this year as well, sis. Remember that?
Yeah, we did!
This is a long year.
Yeah, it has. Oh, it has been long, hasn't it?
2018 was a shit year.
I know. It was a tad year, mate. It was.
But you know what? We can hype up over it by listening to Someday at Christmas by the Jackson 5. Yeah. I didn't even know this was a Christmas song until recently, but it's good.
Yeah, it's a nice song. It's sweet.
It's a new gay classic, thanks to Love, Simon. Mm. We've also got two tracks from Miss Charlie CX, our special guest. I'm so excited to talk to her, aren't you?
I am.
I am times three. And we'll be speaking to her next. You're listening to a Spotify original podcast, David's Out for a Good Time, and we have our holiday special guest, Charlie XCX.
Yay, hi, what's up?
We're so happy to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I've actually seen you four times this year and twice in the same day.
Oh, what? Where?
So I have a really long-winded story about how I got an email from Taylor Swift and her team inviting me to go see the Reputation Tour for free, and I got to meet her before the show, and so we got to see you open for the Reputation Tour, and that was the same day you did a show at Metropolis that was just meant to be a DJ set, but because you're a crowd favorite, you obviously like grabbed the mic and did like a mini set there. So that was twice in one night.
I love that. You got like a taste of Taylor and then a party with Charlie. That's a good combo.
Now, you are known for throwing a legendary party. Like, so 1999, your latest single, which is a smash and a bop, is like you met Troy at like one of your parties that you hosted.
Yeah. We met actually at my house, which we're currently in right now in LA recording this. And basically, I throw these parties all the time. And Troy came with his boyfriend and we met and just hung out. And he was very sweet and really nice, and we realized we had a lot of mutual friends and that we worked with a lot of the same people, so we just sort of said we'd stay in touch and like that maybe one day we would work together. And then a couple of years went by, and when 1999 came up in my brain, like I played it to him and was like, do you think you'd want to be a part of this? And he was like, absolutely. And it kind of went from there, and we were like voice noting each other ideas back and forth and talking about the video, and it was great. Yeah, he's honestly just such a dream. He's such a kind person and such an amazing talent.
And when you came up with 1999, obviously you wouldn't know for sure if he'd jump on. So did you have it intended as a two-person duet? Or did you think, you know, if he passes, I can always release it on my own?
Yeah, I mean, I initially wrote the song just for myself. And then, yeah, just thought about how it'd be cool to, like, have somebody on it. But yeah, I mean, if he'd have said no, I don't even know what I would have done. I probably would have done it on my own, I guess. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I'm thankful that he said yes, so I didn't have to really think about my backup plan.
And it's doing so well across Spotify and on the charts. And I'm so happy because the amount of music you released, like, it's crazy. You have released basically, I know they're mixtapes, but like 2 full albums worth of material in like 2 years.
Yeah, I work really quickly and I try not to get held up with the traps of like radio and like whether a song is doing well or not or streaming well or not. I like make what I want to make, and if something pops off in like more of a commercial way, then I'm very thankful for that. But if it doesn't, I'm also not bothered. I want to make the music I want to make for the people who want to listen, you know, and that's what's most fun for me always.
And I don't want to sound like a dickhead, but the amount of times I see people tweeting you being like, release the album, sis, release the album, queen. It's like, Pop 2 did not come out that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, it literally, I think it's approaching a year now. And then obviously, like, after that, I released Boys, 5 in the Morning, Focus, No Angel, Girls Night Out. Like, there's been a lot of music, but they want it. So
they're addicted.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'm happy that it's that way rather than nobody cares. You know what I mean?
When did you first sort of realize, like, wow, people are really wanting just constant music coming out from, like, they were happy to hear whatever you throw at them, they would take?
Honestly, I really think that kind of appetite did only really start like a couple of years ago, probably around the Vroom Vroom EP, and then it grew a little bit more with Number One Angel, and then really like could really feel that with Pop 2. I mean, I just think like the LGBTQ community in particular have been like extremely supportive of me always, but especially over the past couple of years, and I'm extremely grateful for that. It just feels like such a incredible love from that community, which I'm literally so honored by, and they really like are the driving force behind my fan base. And I think, yeah, it's since Pop 2 that's really happened, and it's been really kind of like, yeah, I don't know, extreme. And honestly, like, I love it. Like, it's so exciting for me. So I'm very thankful for that.
And the last time I heard you play Vroom Vroom was when you did a show at Heaven. And it's insane the way the crowd responds. It's not just like, oh, at a normal concert where people jump or sing along. It's like a tidal wave of body just repeatedly slamming you into another person.
Isn't it? And the fact that you get like whistles as well when you watch a concert, it's just like madness. It's a lot of noise.
Yeah, people, that's definitely a fan favorite. So yeah, it does get wild. But I love it. I mean, that's why I do it.
Something that interests me is, so obviously, like I said, I've seen you 4 times this year, and I've seen your own solo shows, and then obviously I saw you open for Taylor, and the set list between the two vary so much, and understandably, it's because the crowd going to the Taylor show are probably more there for Boom Clap than they would be for something like Vroom Vroom. So when you went to make the set list, what sort of mind were you in? What did you think, I definitely can't play that, and I definitely should play that? Especially because I've always heard that you weren't such a big fan of Break the Rules, but then when I heard you play it, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's definitely one of my least favorite songs that I've made, but I just feel like for the purpose of what that show was, which was me like opening for one of the biggest pop artists in the world, I just sort of feel like that's a moment where you kind of do have to play the hits, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So that's why Fancy and Boom Clap and I Love It and Break the Rules are in there. But I did also play 1999 in some places when that came out, and I played Unlock It. But yeah, I just feel like people who are going to that show in the majority of cases are going for Taylor, you know, and if they get there and see me and they like, you know, my stuff, that's really awesome. But I just imagine that they probably want to sing along to Boom Clap, especially like if you're like a 5-year-old or like a 10-year-old or
I
you're,
love that song.
Or
I'm
you're
sorry,
like,
so
a, like, I don't know, like a parent, like you probably want to like get down to Boom Clap more than you want to get down to Vroom Vroom, you know what I'm saying, in that environment. But it's both fun, and you know, I do my thing even when I'm opening for somebody like that. It's like I still have my little bitchy attitude and whatever. I do feel like I probably won't open for anybody ever again. I feel like that was my last time doing that, and it was such an incredible experience and so good and so fun. but I'm not sure you can sort of like,
feel like have the same freedom.
I was gonna say I feel like Taylor Swift is sort of like the peak of like mm-hmm. people you can open for, like it doesn't get much bigger than her. So I think I'm so ready to just do my own tour now, and you know what I'm saying.
And, you know, something I should say about 1999 is this is actually the most requested song we've ever had for our associated Spotify playlist, David's Bops and Bangers.
Wow. So
we sort of have an unspoken rule where once we featured it, we won't bring it up again. We've now featured 1999 three times.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Well, that means so much. Thank you.
It's a tune. Like, it's such a tune.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys like it and you broke the rules for me.
We'll always break the rules, even if Break the Rules is your least favorite song.
Yeah, thanks.
So, you know, right now it's the holiday season. When it comes to an XCX Christmas party, what are the drinks? Who are you inviting? What is the secret Santa gift you're getting?
For this holiday party, like the drinks will, I mean, it's always champagne. It's honestly really like whatever like is around.
WKD.
WKD, Smirnoff Ice, you know, just anything. Mainly like the champagne vibe. And then we might do like a punch, you know, like a
yum,
like a lethal punch. I don't know. And then guest list is just all like the, you know, especially when it's holiday party, like the holiday party is for like the real friends, the best, the BFFs, like get a little cozy and then like party later, you know. And Secret Santa, I actually can't tell you because the person that I'm buying a gift for is sat in the room listening and I don't want to ruin the surprise, but it's good.
I feel like you're probably a really good queen of gifts.
I'm okay. Like with the gift thing, it's like I can give really good gifts to about like two people per year. So like last year I focused on my parents and I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this is your year, guys. And this year it's my two best friends. It's like now it's their year, but my parents are gonna suffer this year. Like they're gonna get terrible gifts. Whereas like last year my best friends didn't get gifts, you know? So it's not like a mass gift thing. It's like I really have to zone in on two people I wanna focus on.
Are you able to go back and see them this year for Christmas, or are you going to be in LA?
Yeah, I'm going to go home and see my family, which will be really nice. And yeah, it'll be really, really cute. And then I might just like randomly go to Estonia to see Tommy Cash perform.
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
Is he doing a Christmas show?
It's actually after Christmas, but maybe he'll throw in some sort of Christmas imagery.
Jingle Bell Rock.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, Tommy Cash does Jingle Bell Rock. I love it.
What are your plans for New Year's?
My plan for New Year's, I'm going to be in London for New Year's. And
oh, brilliant.
Yeah,
same,
my friends throwing a house party. So just do that. New Year's, it's like hard time for people who really like to party, I think, because there's so much pressure on New Year's Eve being like the party. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I think more often than not, it's just like there's too much pressure on it. And sometimes it doesn't work out. So I'm very like, I'm always very like chill. I'm very like chill on New Year. I kind of like only decide what I'm going to do last minute. And it's like, there's no expectations. Anything could happen.
So as we move into the new year, obviously you sort of have discussed a new album coming out. And I don't want to be one of those people that's like, just tell us the release day and the title and all the details all at once. Because you obviously have a plan in your head for how you want to push all this out.
I actually don't. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, really. I don't. It's like not clear at all. I don't really know anything. So yeah, sorry, so go on.
So I always, from, you know, stan Twitter and just from what I saw, I got the impression that 1999 was the start of like a new era. So you were sort of pushing out Girls Night Out, Focus, No Angel, a lot of singles that for mysterious reasons people have heard before, and now you're moving into a new era and that was the sort of start. So 1999 is still a sort of one-off single.
No, I think it is the beginning of like a new era for sure. I'm just like not totally sure what that era is yet. Like, I think that I will make a full-length body of work, whether it's called an album or a mixtape or blah, 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 like, whatever. I don't know. But, like, yes, there will be new stuff. I just haven't started doing anything yet. But, yeah, 1999 feels like a new thing for sure. Sorry, it's such a vague answer. I don't really have, like...
No, it's good.
I don't have the tea, as they say.
And it's good timing because Playboy Style is doing really well across streaming on Spotify.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
Such a good song.
Great, great. Oh, thanks.
And I have my own feelings about Bad Baby. I'm not gonna like jump into her.
Wait, why? Like... Why though?
Well, to quote Iggy Azalea, I'm not gonna fight a 15-year-old.
But what's your issue with her? Because I think she's great. And she made something out of a bad situation. And I think she's like a really, really good rapper. That's just my 2 cents.
I think, and this is something I can say about a lot of people I'm not a fan of. She's definitely so hardworking and she definitely like does not let up. But I think that a lot of the stuff she's done. So, for example, her collaboration with Fashion Nova, which obviously ultimately got scrapped because of throwing a drink at it. It's just the way she behaves.
Wait, I didn't know about any of that, but okay.
It's everywhere.
Wait, what happened?
So she had a collaboration that was being planned with Fashion Nova. She obviously actually name drops Fashion Nova in Playboy style.
Yeah.
She was just at Cardi B's launch party in LA, and one of the people they invited was Iggy Azalea. And Bad Baby got one of her friends to film her throwing a glass of, air quotes, water at Iggy Azalea. And then saying, like, fight me, blah, blah, blah. And Iggy Azalea just sort of walking off and everyone being so confused. And the sort of stan Twitter or general consensus is that it was a really embarrassing moment for Bad Baby to, like, try to start a fight with a grown woman who is not trying to talk to her, wasn't doing anything. And Fashion Nova's actually pulled Bad Baby's collection. And the team had to, like, and they just, like, completely scrapped everything. And they've actually given the collection to Iggy Azalea. It's now being branded.
Whoa, that's what a... That's crazy. Okay, I didn't know anything about that. But, I mean, obviously, like, I love Iggy. Like, we've worked together on Fancy and, like, known her for a really long time. And she is a very classy lady. But I still really like Bad Baby. Like, I think she's a really good rapper. Like, that's just a fact. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. Her voice sounds really good on records. Yeah, that's just my opinion. I don't condone random water attacks on people, though, but I think Bad Baby's a really good rapper, and I think she's funny, too. I think she's funny.
Has anyone ever come for you like that? Like, has anyone tried to throw in water or, like, been really rude in person?
No, literally no. I wish. Like, I don't really beef with people. It's not really, like, my style, really. But if I did beef with someone, I would win. Like, that's a fact. But, like, I just don't.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. I would win. For me, I'd be like, yeah, I would just hide under a table. And
right. I don't have time for it. Like, I'd rather just, like, be mates with everyone. But if somebody wants to go, then fine. But, like, just trust me, I'll win.
You'll meet them in the parking lot with a sword.
Yeah, right? Carly Rae Jepsen style.
So, obviously, you've done a lot of collaborations, especially on your mixtapes. Going into this new era, is there any names that, even if you've not worked with them, you just think, like, it'd be really fun to pull them into the studio?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, people who I love working with repeatedly. Like, Cupcake is somebody who...
A queen.
The best.
I like that.
Yeah, so Cupcake is somebody who I just always love doing stuff with. Mo, Alma. I really love Rina Sawayama. I really like Yeji. I really like Rosalia.
You two would smash on a track together.
I mean, I'm such a fan of her record. I really like her. There's loads of people I like. There's lots of people who we're always talking, like, we should do something, but, you know, plans are vague right now. But
I'd love to see you work with Girly.
Yeah, she's great. She's cool. I'm really into her all pink everything. That's a good look.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've actually had Girly on our show, episode 2 of David's Out for a Good Time, a Spotify original podcast. Ding! And she actually mentioned you as well, so it's good that you're both fans of each other.
All right, nice.
About Marina and the Diamonds?
Marina and I have collaborated. We collaborated on a song together called Just Desserts. It came out, like, a long time ago when I was on tour with her. Actually, that's the one person I guess I've, like, been close to supposedly having beef with.
Yeah,
like,
I remember seeing. Yes, I didn't want to bring it up.
I don't think that counts. I feel like that was, like, fans created. Although she did comment on my picture of me holding a lemon.
I love that comment.
She commented on
that fruit looks familiar. And then it was just like as if, like, World War III had started, which was pretty good.
But that's it was a shady comment.
Yeah, I think I did a post back as well. Like, yeah. I was holding lemons because I was promoting a lemon-scented body fragrance, motherfucker. Like, some shit like that. I don't know, whatever. But it's all good. Like, I guess, you know, if you call your album Fruit and then someone posts a picture with fruit, it's like there might be some sort of issue there. I don't know, whatever. It's like those days are gone. Like, I've seen Marina since then.
Exactly. I was going to say, like, do you then see her again and you sort of hand her a bowl of grapes and say, that fruit looks familiar?
I should have. I think she would have appreciated that because she's funny. She has a good sense of humor. I think the thing with us is we went on tour together. We were good friends. And I think, you know, there are always so many comparisons between Marina and I, you know, and I think that it was so constant that I think sometimes it did get a little bit, I can't speak for her, but for me it did get a little bit frustrating because I actually think that we're extremely different artists, you know, with extremely different visions.
Definitely.
So then it's like when that narrative gets played into and it's like, you know, I got accused of copying her. It did really hurt because it was like I was holding a lemon because I was promoting a lemon scented body fragrance, not because I wanted to rip off her concept, you know?
Especially because I believe it wasn't actually like a selfie you took on Instagram. It was like a campaign shot.
It was a campaign
well.
Shot. And, you know, it was shot by the same photographer who shot a lot of her artwork. And that photographer is like a longtime friend of mine. And so it was just very confusing, but it's whatever. I think that happened a long time ago now, but that comment still like crops up now and again. And it is pretty good. It's to be fair to her, she's sassy. It's a good comment. I like it.
Yes.
Well, I'd still like to see you two collaborate. You know, I think you've got really good sounds together.
I think like, so too. I think especially like from what we did then, compared to now, I think it would be really different and it would be really interesting to see like where we're at, because I think both of our sounds have really kind of developed so much further than when we collaborated the last time. So yeah, who knows?
Absolutely.
Who knows?
I'll be looking out
and
for that.
And both of you are like, first of all, have incredible figures and are incredible dancers. So that video, if there's a video for it, would be fire.
And your styles as well.
She's a really good dancer. I don't know if I'm going to like put myself in the same category as like good dancer, but I'll take the compliment. Thank you.
It could be like, you know, the Me Against the Music video with Madonna and Britney?
Yeah.
Just a frame for frame recreation of that with you and Marina.
Okay, but like, I'll ask her about it. I'll text her about it. I'm sure
yeah,
she's
but set
into
like
it.
In a grocery store in like the fruit aisle.
Okay, she'll be into it. I like it. It's a good concept.
You know, one of the things that we sort of alluded to earlier, and I was nervous about bringing up, but I feel like you're all hands on deck, to quote Tinashe. So have you heard of Popheads, the Reddit forum?
Yes, I think. I'm not really a big Reddit person. I get all my like Reddit info from AG knows about Reddit. I don't really, that's not my scene. Why? What? Tell me what's...
So it's a bit similar to like TMZero, No They Didn't, or any of those sites where they'll post, you know, news about pop artists or pop music as it's happening. And they do like in brackets after a story, the name of the artist. So let's say there's something about a new Bad Baby track or Iggy Azalea. It'll have the brackets and then that name. With you, they'll instead put brackets Charlique XCX because they're addressing, obviously, when you had a ton of your music leak and it was like 50 tracks in one go or something.
What?
Yeah,
that
no.
That must be so annoying.
It was like all my music ever.
Did you ever press charges and find out who was doing it? Like, what's the sort of situation with that?
Well, I found out because I just saw people tweeting about it and I was like, oh, bummer. You know, it was like a very stressful time for me because it's like music that either I was actually gonna use or music that other artists had cut and were gonna use, and now they won't release it because it's been leaked. So that like fucks.
Oh wow, I didn't even realize that other artists were involved.
So that like fucks with my business, you know. Which on like a business level makes me like really angry because I don't like it when that happens. And then it's just like an emotional thing of like, oh, like that's really cruel, you know? So it's like a combination of those things, but I know that I'm hoping that the people who are involved probably don't really think about it in that way. They probably just think like, oh, we want to hear more Charlie music, let's do this. Like, honestly, like I literally have no new music to leak now, so it's everything is online. And it's kind of, in some, like AG and I were talking about it, we were like, in some ways it's just like a very like classic thing that would happen to me, like, so whatever. But yeah, it's cool. I'm happy to take the title of Charlie XCX. That's cool.
One of my favorite responses to a leak ever was Lana Del Rey did an Instagram Live and she was doing a cappella versions of, you know, fan requested tracks, and someone requested a song that had clearly leaked through, and her response after seeing that comment was, "How do you know about that track?" And it became very awkward for everyone involved.
Yeah. Well, I guess at like my shows, I always get people being like, "Play Taxi." I'm like, "Oh my god, you fuckers!" Like, but it's fine. Like, it's cool that like people are so like excited, and sometimes it does feel like that Reddit sort of like comes to life a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of fun and entertaining in some ways, but I am happy that, like, you know, I was really sad when I was in that phase of life because it was really stressful for me.
Well, I want to end this interview by asking you, you know, this is a holiday special, but we're going into 2019 as well. What is, not necessarily a resolution, but something you would like to be able to look back at 2019 at the end of the year and say, I'm really happy that this happened or I achieved this?
Probably just like that I went on a tour, like my own tour. That's like my main goal for next year. Like, I've really enjoyed doing the one-off pop 2 shows I've been doing, and I just really want to do like a full tour. So that's my goal for 2019.
I'm in a group chat that's actually named after one of your lyrics, and all the Twitter gays in it, they literally, when they, like I said, they knew that you were coming on, they were all giving me their cities, being like, tell her to play this city, tell her to play this city.
Oh, that's cute.
Like, one of my friends, Casey, literally dressed up as you for Halloween. He had the sword and like the like haircut wig, and he was like, you need to tell her to come to Scotland because she's not done a Scotland show in so long, blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah, blah,
blah. That's so fun. That's fun. Yeah, okay, great. Scotland's on the list then.
Perfect. So tell people where they can find you. And as we said earlier, they can obviously stream your music, including 1999 on Spotify. On David's Bops and Bangers, make sure to follow the playlist. We're including Playboy Style. We're including 1999 and the first Charlie XCX song I ever fell in love with, Super Love.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yeah, well, follow the playlist, guys. Stream the music, you know, do all the right things. I'm so bad at self-promotion. Yeah, I don't know.
And they can find your Instagram at...
Oh, it's Charlie, no E, _XCX. Same thing on Twitter.
And you can find the lady at...
At maybe the lady on Twitter.
And you can find me at Written by David on Twitter or at David Olshineski on Instagram, where I'll attempt to recreate Charlie XCX's famous squats.
Yes, you gotta practice that. It's a hard move.
Happy holidays, everyone.
A Spotify original podcast.